Abby Wagle is now a sophomore in high school who met Ella Bressy in 2019 when they were 12-year-olds and competitors on rival basketball teams. They connected almost immediately and became best friends. In 2021, after complaining of headaches, Ella was diagnosed with medulloblastoma, which is the most common form of pediatric brain cancer. Abby will talk about their friendship and how difficult it was to watch Ella pass away from this disease in September of 2022, and the many ways in which Abby has honored a friend that will never be forgotten. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Having a best friend who you have grown up with during your teenage years and even before that should be a very positive experience. And it was for Abby Wagle and Ella Bressy, who grew up in Maryland together. But when this best friend develops the pediatric brain cancer medulloblastoma and passes away from it 17 months later, that changes everything. To talk in detail about this very unfortunate situation is the aforementioned Abby Wagle, and it is my pleasure to introduce Abby to my audience and welcome her to my podcast. Thank you very much for joining me. Well, thank you for joining me. It's great to have you here.
Thank you.
Now, my first question to you will be, how long had you known Ella, and what was it like for you to have her as a best friend?
Yeah, so me and Ella met in 2019, at a basketball game, because we went to different schools. So we just happened to like kind of cross paths. And so we were friends for 4 or 5 years. And having her as a best friend was one of the best experiences in my life. She showed me like what true love can look like and true friendship should look like, and just taught me so much about myself and about like life in general. And, you know, being able to call her my best friend was one of the greatest things in my life.
Now, were you competitors on the court?
Yeah, we only got to play each other twice because then like COVID happened and everything. But yeah, we would talk smack to each other.
Well, that's a great way to, you know, to have a friendship, particularly when it was a rival and someone you know didn't know at all into 2019. So that's certainly, so you were, you know, you weren't even a teenager then, I'm guessing.
No, at that point. I was 12.
Okay. So now I was looking at your Instagram account, and there are many photos of her and yourself. I know that Ella was a basketball player, and my guess is that she was a highly successful one. And you were an athlete yourself. You actually put that on your Instagram account. What was it like for you to have your best friend as a now rival, not a teammate? And you mentioned you talk smack to each other, but after the games, I would think that you forgot that and just resumed your friendship.
Yeah, we would still give each other little things. Like I remember her team beat us by like 10 points one time. So she was like, she'd always poke at that. But no, yeah, we're both competitive people. We both like grew up in competitive, like athletic families. So we both would like bring it out at each other, like the littlest things. But, you know, in the snap of a moment, we're off the court and it's like, we're best friends. Like, we don't think about that stuff.
And besides basketball, what other sports do you play?
I do track and volleyball.
And do you have a favorite sport? Or do you play them all? Obviously, when the seasons come by, that's your favorite sport.
Probably basketball. I just played it for, like, my whole life. So I'm probably, like, the best at it out of the sports that I do. But I, like, am an active person, so I enjoy all of them.
Now, my reason for speculating that Ella was a highly successful basketball player was because her brother Brian was perhaps the number one football recruit out of high school. He went to Clemson and was the number one draft choice of the New Orleans Saints in the 2023 draft and had a very successful rookie year. Can you talk about Brian and the relationship that he had with Ella?
Yeah, him and Ella were very, very close. Ella was like and still definitely is, like, his biggest fan. She, even through chemo and when she couldn't go to the games, she'd always be wearing his jerseys and always watching the games and cheering for him. And they were really, really close. And he's really nice person. And I feel like you think, like, athletes that, you know, they're like, but he's really humbled and down to earth. I think he's a really nice person. And their bond is unbreakable. Ella, with all her family members, they're really, really close.
Did you get to know Brian at all?
Yes, I have. I've got to meet him a couple times because, you know, he's very busy. But, I mean, every time I've talked to him, he's always been extremely nice to me. He's really nice.
Now, we're going to look back to the early stages of 2021. Ella was complaining of headaches, so much so that she was taken to a doctor in March of that year who thought that Ella might be suffering from dehydration. But eventually, she had an MRI that showed a very different situation. What was her diagnosis? And had you ever even heard of the word medulloblastoma?
No, I had no idea.
And had you known anybody that had suffered from cancer? You're obviously at a very young age, so maybe that hasn't happened until Ella's situation occurred.
So when I was in third grade, my aunt died from breast cancer. That was like the first kind of cancer. But I was like young. I didn't really like understand exactly like what she was going through. But I've always like known about childhood cancer and all that stuff. But I remember when Ella got diagnosed, I was just like, you know, you're kind of in shock. You're like, you know, she just had headaches. Like, you never thought that it was going to go from a headache to, you know, she has cancer. And I remember she texted me, like, telling her that she had a tumor because they hadn't been able to do a biopsy on it to see if it's like cancerous or not, because they had to do the surgery first. So, and then they found out that it was cancerous. And I remember I was like, you know, every time she would tell me what it was called, and I was like researching all this stuff, and I was like, it just like opened my eyes to this like world I'd never known about.
Well, to be honest with you, I wish you had never known about it, of course. And it must have been a tremendous shock to you. Had you noticed before she was diagnosed her behavior being any different outside of complaining of the headaches? Was there anything else that you might have seen or that she said that was bothering her?
Not really. The only complaint for her was just like really bad headaches. I remember we were actually FaceTiming the night before she had the diagnosis, and she was just kind of saying, yeah, like I have to go to Children's Hospital tomorrow. Like they think there's something wrong. And I was just like, no, you're fine. Like, you know, probably just headaches. Cause you know, you don't think that you're going to hear that. You're just kind of like, oh, you don't think of the worst case scenario. So the only thing that she really complained to me about was just like really bad headaches.
And did you talk to her fairly soon after she texted you about the fact that she had a tumor?
Yeah, we FaceTimed later that day.
And how was she doing?
She was making TikToks and stuff with her mom and stuff. That's kind of the attitude that she always went into it was, you know, she wasn't going to let cancer or whatever, like, take her sense of humor away and take her love for life away. And she, you know, obviously was terrible what she found out, but, you know, she knew that there was nothing she could do about it except try to be positive and live her life. And even if it's in a hospital, make TikToks with her mom and TikToks and with herself and like just things like that.
And how are you doing? And were you able to perhaps talk to your parents or someone close to you about how you were feeling? But because obviously this was totally unexpected and must have been a complete shock to your system.
Yeah, it definitely was. I just knew from the start that, like, of course I have my parents and my friends and stuff, but I knew from the start that this, obviously it's devastating and I was scared, but this isn't about me. It's about her. And the most important thing is to just know that she knows that I'm here for her.
And you were roughly 14 years old at the time?
Yes.
Okay. So for you to have that kind of an attitude that it's about her and not about you is an attitude that not too many people have even going forward years from now.
Yeah.
So that's a great credit to yourself and the values I'm sure you had. Now, Ella was forced to undergo an ordeal, which included surgery, 30 rounds of radiation, 4 months of chemotherapy, and for her treatment protocol to be completed by November of 2021.
Yes.
How difficult was it for Ella to go through this? And how involved were you as far as seeing her, talking with her during that time? Because this must have been a very painful experience, certainly for her physically.
Yeah, it was definitely hard, obviously, to watch her go through that. And to see her, she lost a lot of weight. So like, the first time I saw her after that, it was like hard to see that, like, it was like how much, like, physically that it affected her. And just watching her go through that was horrible. But I always knew that I just needed to be there for her. And I didn't necessarily, like, I would talk about what she was going through when she would bring it up. I just wanted her to feel normal. And I wanted her to feel like she could escape all the hospital stuff. And she just wanted to FaceTime me and could play games together. Like, I want her to feel like a normal teenager and get a break from what she was going through. Unless she wanted to talk about it and she wanted to bring up the details and all that stuff, then I would let her. But I didn't want to make it all about that. I wanted her to feel like normal when she was hanging out with me.
Did you speak to her on a regular basis? Was she well enough to speak to you, say, daily or whatever? And was this something that you felt that you absolutely had to do as often as possible?
Yeah, we'd talk a lot. We'd FaceTime a lot because her immune system was really bad, so she couldn't. It was hard for her to hang out with people. And, you know, just how she felt was, like, inconsistent. So, like, sometimes we'd, like, have something planned and then she wouldn't feel good that day. And I would totally respect that. But we would FaceTime a lot and text a lot and play, like, different phone games together. Like, just little things like that. Because she couldn't really do any, like, thing active, especially, like, when she was on chemo because she was really weak and she couldn't even walk. So just, like, little things like that. Just trying to, like, make her know that I'm here for her. That was just the big goal for me.
Now, after her treatment was completed, Ella was looking forward to returning to school, excuse me, and returning to basketball. My question is, I know you were in different schools. Did she ever talk about how she was treated if and when she went back to school? Sometimes what happens, particularly when you're talking about teenage years, is that, and I've had people on my podcast that have had this experience, mm-hmm. that the cancer patient is looked at differently than anyone else. And sometimes the fact is that the friends that I would imagine she had before you, since you didn't meet her until 2019, were they supportive of her? Or did she ever say, hey, except for you and a few others, my friends are leaving me?
She definitely had some friendship issues. And she would talk to me about that. And it's hard because it makes you wonder, like, how can you be a bad friend to somebody who's fighting for their life? It's horrible. But overall, her community and her school is really supportive. And the girls' basketball program did a lot for her. They had, like, games honoring her. And this recent last month, February, I think, they got these jerseys made in honor of her that have Ella Strong on the back and, like, her favorite colors and stuff. So her school and community were really supportive through her treatment, but yeah, she definitely had some friends who weren't the best. And, you know,
such a sad and unfortunate situation. Did you feel, as Ella's best friend, did you feel a responsibility in some way to make certain that you not only were you always there for her, but that you, above all others, were the one person, it sounds as if, at least from a peer point of view, that she could rely on? And how important was that to you?
It was very important that she knew that she could talk to me whenever and about anything, and she definitely did. And that was just such a special thing that I was just glad that she had somebody that she could come to when maybe others, like friends and stuff, weren't treating her the best, and or just other people in general. I'm just glad that I could be that person for her. And, like, again, like I said, from the beginning of the diagnosis, that's all I wanted for her, was to be able to, like, I wanted to be that for her, because obviously I cannot understand what she's going through. And I just kind of, I saw what she was going through, but I never experienced what she was going through. So I couldn't talk to her on a, you know, yeah, I understand what you're going through basis, but like, I'm here for you. And I don't understand what you're going through, but I'm going to support you through what you're going through.
Did this affect you in any way athletically or in school or in relationships during this period in a negative way?
Definitely. Like the period when after she passed away, I went through a lot of different emotions and a lot of my friendships were ruined because of it. And it definitely went through a lot, but not as much towards before she passed away. But I mean, it definitely distracted me a lot, especially like on days when she'd have scan days or stuff. Like it would make me nervous because you're like waiting for the unexpected. Did the cancer come back? Is she okay? Like that kind of things. And just seeing how stressed out she would get from the scans, it definitely affected me, like just waiting for that news, not knowing what was going to happen. So definitely that perspective, it was stressful to watch, you know, and wait for the results that if things were working or if they weren't working.
How important do you think that you became to Ella's family at that time? I mean, as they watched their daughter go through what she went through, and then you're there as her best friend, I mean, it must have meant a lot to them. And are you still close to them today?
Yeah, I'm really, really close with her family. I will get lunch with her mom every so often. I'll see their family a lot. And I mean, I was just texting her mom before the podcast today. So I'm really close with their family. And they told me how much like they've appreciated how I was there for Ella when she needed it the most. And yeah, it was important to me too, to be her there for her family too. And yeah.
Now, Ella relapsed in June of 2022, which led to another surgery, more radiation, and she was preparing for more chemotherapy. Do you remember if this relapse kind of just happened, or was Ella complaining again about headaches or any other symptoms that you might have thought, or people might have thought, that there was a relapse happening?
Yeah, she was going to physical therapy because she got drop foot from chemo and was getting stronger. And, you know, I didn't think that this would, I always knew there was a chance because with brain cancer it happens pretty often, but she, I mean, it just kind of fell off. She wasn't feeling well. And I would text her before her scans and stuff, and she would text me after. And then when she texted me, I was just in shock that it reoccurred, that it came back again, because she was doing pretty well. And I was just shocked.
The period between the relapse in June and her passing, which came in September of 2022 at the age of 15, how much time did you spend with her during that period? And was she able to have any good days towards the end? Or was it just a real sad situation to watch?
Yeah. The thing about Ella is she, even if it wasn't going to be a good day, she'd make it a good day. And that's just the kind of person that she was. We would hang out as much as we could. It was just, again, hard because some days she would just not feel good at all and wouldn't feel like doing anything. But we tried to hang out as much as we could. Even if we weren't hanging out, we were texting all the time and FaceTiming all the time. And we were very close. We got even closer throughout those months.
And after September 22nd, September of 2022, how long did it take you, if you've even had a chance to not get over it, but adjust to the situation and try to return to as normal life as possible? Because you said after she passed away, it really got tough for you.
Yeah. I think it's still like day by day kind of thing. Like some days it just feels unbearable to go through the day. And then other days it's like, okay, like, you know, I know she's watching over me and it's okay. Like there's just easier and harder days. And like, the 12th recently would have been her 17th birthday. And then tomorrow will be a year and a half since she passed away. So like, I guess days like those are just reminders of how long it's been. since she's passed, but just like overall, it is definitely been a challenge to try to go back, not go back to life, but to kind of bring, I guess, a normalcy into life. And just by like, my family has been amazing to me, and I'm close with a lot of Ella's friends and my friends and her family. Like, we just have all been there for each other, and that's definitely made things easier. But overall, like, sometimes it still feels like it happened yesterday. Just, it's terrible.
Have you become friendlier with Ella's friends, perhaps, than the ones that you have had before you met Ella?
In some ways, yeah. There's a couple of her friends that were her really close friends too, and we all just especially bonded and got really close. And because we have a bond that, you know, my other friends can't, you know, talk about, and they can't experience the same pain. So it's nice to have somebody that you can talk to about it that understands like what I'm going through.
I suppose there are two ways you can ultimately react to a best friend passing away. The first way would be to try to move on, move past it as quickly as possible, and resume what was your regular life. And the second way was to make sure that this best friend was never to be forgotten, and to get involved as much as you can in helping to create a legacy for this friend. Why did you choose the second option, even though the answer is obvious?
Yeah. Because she can't fight for herself anymore, and she can't fight for the other children. And I just know that's what she'd want me to do. And being in this community and fighting for something way bigger than who I am, it's helped me tremendously through my grief, and just meeting so many other amazing people. It's really, really helped me a lot through my grieving process. It's been an outlet for me. And to just spread her name and her legacy, she's the easiest person to talk about. And getting to talk about her to other people and tell her name and her story, and it's the best thing. And it's hard. And every time I talk about it, sometimes it's hard to hold back tears. But I just know that this is what she would want to do. And she can't advocate for herself anymore. And that's why, you know, this is what I can do for her. And this is what I know she would want me to do.
Now, I'd like to talk about your involvement as we begin to talk about a number of different things that you've done since her passing. The involvement with the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society as a Student Visionary of the Year in Maryland, beginning January of 2023. I think it began before that, but you started, I guess, in January of 2023. Can you talk about that campaign and how much success you've had with it?
Yeah, it was definitely a fun experience. I made like two of like my best friends through doing that. It was just a really cool experience to be involved in. And again, like, that was kind of one of the first like bigger fundraising things that I got to do. And after doing that, I just was like, I need to keep doing this. Like, I love doing this. It's a passion for me. And I think I raised about $5,000, a little bit over that maybe. But it was just a really cool experience to be a part of and make an impact in that. Even though, you know, Ella did not have blood cancer, it's still just the cancer in general that just being involved with it is nice. And it's nice to feel like I made an impact.
Well, you made an impact and you raised $5,000. What was your exact role to try to get this money? What exactly did you do?
So we did different. I was like, we had a team. It was kids that go to my school. And we would do different like fundraising events at like sports events and stuff. And you reach out for like personal sponsors and stuff like that. So you kind of just have to spread the word and hope people generously donate to you.
Raising money is very difficult. Normally my hope is that when someone, you knock on someone's door or call someone or email them or whatever, sees your age and sees that you're doing it for your best friend, I would hope that would make it easier and that you had success in driving the message home and getting the results that you wanted.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's helped, because especially in this area, a lot of people know about Ella. So when they see somebody, you know, people trying to keep her legacy alive and do something, it definitely makes them want to help. And a lot of people are interested in helping, and like, just a lot of people will donate and help, you know, spread awareness and spread the word about like different events or different fundraising stuff.
Now, I want to ask you about some of the ones that you have been involved with. You, you had a, back, I'm guessing around Christmas time, you had a toy drive.
Yeah.
You've sold shirts and hats. You've sold Ella bracelets. And you've also used Instagram to spread awareness. Can you just talk about a couple of those things?
Yeah. So the Instagram account was, I think, I mean, in November. So 2 months after she passed. And I just seen other people do it. And I was like, oh, like, this could be like, this could be fun. Like, this could be cool. So of course I like reached out to her mom and talked about it. And she was like, yeah, like, definitely do it. Like, that'd be awesome. So I just kind of started posting. I didn't really expect much. I kind of expected like her friends and family to follow. And I didn't really think it would go anywhere. And, over time, like, oh, I got a lot of followers. I got like 2,000 now. And I've met so many people and got involved with so many things. And I never expected it to like really go anywhere. I just kind of was doing it as like an outlet for me to, you know, because I had all these feelings and all this stuff. And I'm like, I need to like spread it somehow. And I didn't know how to. So having that was nice to get to tell about Ella and talk about like childhood cancer and brain cancer.
Well, it's just then, so important. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Please finish that, because I didn't give you a chance to talk about the other things.
So I did a toy drive recently with Ella's three other friends. And we had a lot of toys. It was like amazing how many people were interested in helping do this. And we took them to Children's Hospital in D.C. That's where Ella was treated and had her surgeries at. It was also the last place that I got to see her, and when she was like a couple days before she passed away. So it was really like emotional for me to be back in the hospital and have all those like kind of traumatic things I experienced that day, kind of have to see it again and relive it. But it was the most awesome experience ever. I got to go up to the pediatric area, and I actually got to give out some of the presents to some of the kids, and just to see their faces and their smiles on their faces. And, you know, these kids are going through the most terrible things you can imagine. And just to like get see them happy and see them smile and the excitement and get to tell them about Ella was everything to me. It was amazing.
I mean, the feeling that you, I know, had after giving out these gifts and seeing these kids smile and look happy, I could just see you leaving the hospital and just feeling not happy, obviously, about what they're going through, but certainly satisfied and feeling good about yourself.
Yes.
And because what you're doing is just so important. And you, many times the person giving gets more than the person receiving as far as, you know, satisfaction and stuff like that goes. So I can understand, you know, you having those experiences and the way you felt about them. Now, I'd like to ask you about your participation last year at CureFest, which is the annual pediatric cancer conference, which is held in Washington, D.C. You don't have to go too far for that. And one of the most poignant parts of the event, I've been there a couple years, is the heartbreaking wall of pediatric cancer patients that have passed away, perhaps Ella's pictures on that wall. Did you see that wall? And what were your impressions of CureFest?
CureFest was awesome. It was amazing. I got to talk about Ella, which I loved doing, and I got to meet so many people and finally meet people that I've talked to over the internet for so long. And I knew her picture was going to be up there because me and her mom were talking about putting her picture up there. But like actually seeing it under the wall of hope next to all these other kids that passed away, it was just like, it hits you again. It's like, wow, like she's not here anymore. And it's heartbreaking every single time, no matter how many times I would see it, like it hurt like my heart, like actually. And And just seeing all those other kids up there, it's devastating and it's heartbreaking. And it shouldn't have to be that way.
Did you get involved in any of the activities with some of the peers that might have been there, as far as perhaps going to Capitol Hill or doing anything together that would bond you?
Yeah, so I got to set up a table and I had Ella bracelets and like these little pictures and stickers and all this stuff about Ella. But unfortunately, because there was the rainstorm, I didn't get to do the Capitol Hill and all that stuff, which I was so disappointed, but I'm definitely going to do it next year. But because of the rain, everything kind of got screwed up and got canceled in some way. So that was frustrating. But yeah, I got to meet a bunch of people, like I said. And one of the people that I got to meet was Allie Anderson. You probably heard of her. She passed away. But getting to meet her was awesome, too. She was such a sweetheart. And the way she advocated for herself and others was amazing. And just getting to... just to meet all these people is just like so amazing, and how much interest and love that everyone has for each other in the community is, it's amazing. It's so inspiring.
Well, as you get more involved and going to Cure Fest and doing other things, you're going to meet more and more people, and you're going to find that, these teenagers, and I've had the honor of interviewing a number of them, such as yourself. And there's just something that separates them and you from everybody else, in that you haven't obviously experienced your own pediatric cancer. Many of these kids have, but you have been so intimately involved in your friends' battle. And I think you're going to find this, as you move forward, an important part of your life. I'd like to ask you about your parents. Yeah. And we've already mentioned how great they've been to you, and perhaps some of the values that you obviously either instinctively had when Ella got sick, or that they have tried to impress upon you as you were growing up, to allow you to react in the manner that you did.
Yeah, I'm really close with my family, and both of my parents like have always showed it's important to, be there for the people when they need the most love and the most care. And I've always kind of been attracted to and never ran away from people who were sick. I always kind of went towards them and never got like scared, even from like a young age. I've always kind of been drawn to it and helping people, and like I never ran away from it. And that's definitely because of the way I was raised, I think, in a way, and just who I am as a person. But I've always kind of been, instead of like stepping away and being, scared, or definitely scared, but weirded out and grossed out and whatever people feel, I've always kind of wanted to be helpful and be like, not be out of the way. I wanted to be there and help people that were sick.
Well, you've been very successful in that. Now, what lessons have you learned from Ella that you've taken with you since her fight began? And are these lessons that you think will stay with you in the years to come?
Yeah, definitely. She had taught me how to be just the best friend, just from the way she treated me. It just showed me just what friendship should look like. She taught me that life is so short and things can change in a moment and in a second, and to just be nice to everybody. And no matter what, because she would always say that there's someone out there that has it worse than you. That was her mindset a lot. Through even her having cancer, she always thought that there's someone out there that has it worse than me. So I think I try to keep a mindset like that. Like there's, obviously what I'm going through and is terrible, but I needed to see the positive in things and be happy that I got, to know Ella, and that I got to call her my best friend, and that she left me with all this love and happiness and memories and stuff like that. I tried to stay positive about it because, she was able to stay positive while fighting through her life. So I try to stay positive through daily, even when things are harder.
It's hard to believe that you only knew her for 3 years. I mean, you met her in 2019. She passed away in 2022. It's it would seem going into this podcast that this was someone that I honestly thought you had grown up together when you were 3 years old, and find out that that was certainly not the case, but that you can develop, someone on this level at any age, really. And yeah. You proved that at age, 12 years old.
Yeah, we just instantly clicked when we met. Like, you would have thought that we would have known each other for years, the way that we just instantly bonded. I think we both just had personalities that matched each other, and we just really clicked right away. And it was, like, nice to have, like, that friendship and that feeling that you just, like, meet someone and you're like, yeah, this person's going to be in my life. And I just felt that with her.
Now, you're only a sophomore in high school. You got a long way to go.
Yeah.
Have you thought at all about any type of what you'd like to possibly do as a career or a profession as yet? And if you had or have, would it have anything to do with what happened with Ella? And would you lean towards getting involved, whether it's in medicine or something else professionally in this pediatric cancer fight?
Yeah, definitely. I think for me personally, it'd be too hard to be a doctor or nurse, because I think I wouldn't be able to separate. I just would think of Ella constantly, and I just think that would be too hard for me. But St. Jude's Hospital, where she got treated, has like a program where kids who are going through treatment can continue like schooling. And especially with these young kids that are going through treatment, they need to learn how to write and to read. And I think I like am interested in teaching, and taking in my school right now, I'm taking child development classes and all that stuff. And I've always like been drawn to teaching. And when I saw like that, I was like, oh, I want to do that. Like, that's what I want to do.
You answered the question already, but I do want to talk about briefly how therapeutic this has been for you, because that is, you know, such an important part of the after effects, the psychosocial aspects of cancer. And you're not a sibling, but you're as close to a sibling as any, you know, as anyone could be. Obviously, she had, I believe, brothers.
She is the youngest. She had a brother and then two older sisters, which she was really, really, really close to them.
I'd like to ask you about them. How was it for them? How is it for them? You said they were older than Ella, and obviously Brian is older than Ella. How have they, and you say you know them pretty well, or at least you know Brian and the family. Yeah. How have her sisters been able to put this event in its proper place? Or have you heard that there's struggles? Because siblings is a very difficult part of this whole process.
Yeah, of course they struggle. It's been extremely hard for her family, which is imagined. And her sisters are both amazing. I'm close with both of them. They both continuously honor her in so many, they always just honor her. Like around their house, there's just pictures of her everywhere, and they post about her all the time, and they will never let her memory die. And she, like, just being around her family, and especially like her sisters and her mom, they just have a lot of the same characteristics as Ella in the ways they said things or did things. So like being around them feels like I'm really close to her. And her family is amazing, how, you know, how awful that they had to go through that, but that they still are fighting for her and fighting for the life that she should have had. It's incredible. And it motivates me to keep fighting too on some days when it's harder to go through your everyday life, and just seeing how strong they are, it does push you to keep going.
Have they been able to get the support that they deserve through this fight? As far as, you know, I realize that as a close family, they get support, but the community that Ella grew up in, has it been a supportive situation, and are they involved? Now you're involved in obviously, but is the community involved in any way in doing other things to honor her?
Yeah, definitely. Their community is really involved. They've done many sporting event games in honor of Ella, where they've raised money and have honored their family. And they've just, their community has really made a big effort to show support to their family, which is awesome. And her family is just as much like involved in all this stuff as I am. And it's just incredible to see like the fight that they have for her and how motivated they are. It's awesome. It's incredible. And these shirts her mom actually got made for CureFest. They say our children deserve better. Ella deserve better, that we all wear to CureFest. So yeah, they've just having them has been one of the most helpful things through grief.
Where could people get in touch with you on your Instagram account? Because this is an important part of what you're doing. And yeah. They may want to get involved in some way. So where would be the best place to get in touch with you?
Probably through DMing the Ella Instagram or my personal Instagram, which is just abby.wagle. And then the Ella account is live like Ella Brzee. Probably through DMing that account because I check those often. And just by supporting, reposting things, it's the smallest thing, but it makes people more aware by wearing different shirts and talking to people about the meeting. A lot of my friends that never got to meet Ella, and some of them did, a lot of us all have these Live Like Ella bracelets, and on the back it has her birth and the day she passed, and just like little things like that keeps the conversation alive, like, oh, who's Ella? And it's just like those little things that are just like such as little as wearing a bracelet or reposting something and of course donating money and just sharing different fundraisers is extremely important.
Well, these little things that you've done. And now, did you, were those the type of bracelets that you sold or gave out at CureFest?
It's for them.
Well, as we come to the end of this podcast, first of all, my condolences. I mean, you know, going into 2019, I don't think that this was on your plan of what you were going to be doing during the school year. And, you know, putting the fact that you met Ella was something that must have been preordained or something, because it turned out to be a wonderful thing, very brief, way too brief for her and for you. And I want to congratulate you on what you've done. I mean, to go beyond anything normal, what you've done is really incredible. And, you know, what you've shown, not just Ella, who is looking, she's right now staring at you during the podcast. She's going to give you a grade, which will be an A for the podcast. But she's looking down on you and your parents and Ella's parents and family. And it's really been an incredible effort by you. And I want to wish you, as you get more involved in this, which my guess is that you will, whether it's not because that's who you are and the cause is so important. I want to wish you the best of luck as time goes on in whatever role you choose to get involved in. And one thing I'll guarantee, it will be a successful one. And thank you very much for taking the time to come on my podcast. It was great to speak with you.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Losing a best friend at any age is nothing if not traumatic. And Abby has suffered quite a bit with this loss of Ella, who will never be replaced. It is great to see how important honoring Ella's memory has been to Abby and will continue to be as time goes on. This is Mark Levine, and please tune in next Thursday, March 28th, when I will speak to Vicki Stevens and Don McCarthy from their home in Surrey, England, when they will talk about their son Rio and his battle with stage 4 neuroblastoma, which was diagnosed in August of 2023.